it's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where for the past, I'm guessing it's close to 6 years now, I have been recording different guests that help to explain the complexity of who we are as human beings. And you know, of course, we have our physical side. Without that, our soul would have no place to really reside. And we have our intellectual, and hopefully we're growing and learning every day of our life something. And we have the spiritual connection to the universe, maybe to a guardian angel, maybe to a loved one that has already preceded us, you know, in death. And then we have the emotional. And the emotional component, I think, is a part of what we're going to discuss today with Stephen, because if your emotions, and oh my goodness, this past year has been utterly insane with politics and, you know, wars in different parts of the world. And of course, it's all at, you know, our fingertips. We can get to that news through our phones, through our computers, and obviously through our televisions. And so I think most people, as we end up 2024, have been very, very stressed. And so this is a way to kind of, our program today is to help you learn how to do a mental cleanse. But before we get started, I wanted to remind everyone, if you go to synergyconnectionradio.com, all of the shows are there. I think there's like 450 of the shows now. And each show has a synopsis. It's short. You can read it in a couple of minutes and decide whether or not this is a show that would be of interest to you. There's always a way to connect with that guest at the bottom of that synopsis. So you'll be able to get in contact with Stephen or any of the other people that I've had on my show. Secondly, there's another link to Boomers Forever Young. And I've been using their products for over 7 years, coming up on 8 years now. And their newest product is called Myotrol, M-Y-O-T-R-O-L. And I love it. Of all of the products that I've used from this company, I love this one probably the most. It does produce increased stamina and strength. It also is good for mental clarity, which I need all the time. It's also wonderful for rebuilding muscle, because if you lose your muscle, a lot of people don't know this, but we lose 1% of our muscle mass every single year after the age of 50. So by the time you're 70, you've lost 20%, which is one of the reasons people fall and injure themselves. When kids fall, unless it's a really bad fall, they just bounce right back up. You know, they might have a little bruise, they might have a little scrape, but it's nothing. When somebody over 50 falls, very often it's serious. Bones break, you know, they tear ligaments. All you have to do is watch, you know, any of the football games or athletic events, and you're going to see that. And those are athletes that are hurting themselves. But we hurt ourselves much more easily as we age. So the Myotrol helps to increase muscle, and that in turn gives you strength and stamina. And I've noticed that my muscle tone is definitely improving. So if you go on their website, read all about it. It's lengthy. It has videos. If you decide you want to try it, when you check out, there's a discount box. All you have to do is put my first name, L-U-C-Y, and they're going to give you 15% off of your order. And they do that as a favor to me because I mentioned their product and I do use them. And so I'm just encouraging everybody to take a look at this one. It is unique. The inventor came to this company because we're small. The company is small. And he wanted, you know, people to be able to actually talk to somebody about it, as opposed to, as you know, if you're ordering off of Amazon, there's nobody to talk to. So any other website, you probably don't have that opportunity, but you do with this one. Okay, so we're going to get started with the show and welcome back, Stephen. And I just wanted to, I guess, have you explain in your way of explaining what on earth is a mental cleanse? It's not like you can throw your mind into the dishwasher or the washing machine and clean it, but that's kind of what we need to do, isn't
Sometimes the brain does need washed, Lucy.
it?
I started this process. It was an experiment. I don't know. I want to say about 10 years ago. It's been going on for a while. And I started a group of people and I was working at Gateway at the time. Maybe it had to have been longer than that. It had to have been, boy, it would have had to have been a lot longer than that. But a group of us came together and we started. We for a whole month, no complaining. That's how it all started. It was like, okay, no complaining, no attack thoughts, no awfulizing, no negative bias, no confirmation bias. Anytime I perceived something negative, because I was just finding that I was just getting very pessimistic, very, very down, very, what I would call a lower identity. And, yeah, I just, it's in the length of time that let's call them cleansers have come on, it's developed into a process, and we've got various tools now to support the process, and it's just four steps. And I think that everybody should cleanse. I think that you talked about how the bones get brittle and we lose 1% of our muscle mass, but I believe that the mind and the body and the soul are all three parts of the whole. And when I hold on to a belief in my mind, that thing, if I hold on to it long enough, it realizes, it calcifies, right? So, and we're living in a world where, I mean, they suggest that 85% of the communication that a baby gets between up to like 3 years old or something, 3 to 8 years old, something like that, 85% of it is negative or no, or don't touch that, or stay away from that, or, and we look at the world. I mean, we just came through this massive political this election, and the negativity that is like watching a bunch of monkeys throw poo on one another. You know what I mean? And the mind is just a giant sponge. All we're doing is constantly making meaning, 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 meaning. And we're doing it at such a level that we don't know we're doing it. And once we've made a meaning, that meaning has been made. Once I've made up my mind, the mind doesn't like to go back and re kind of relook at that. So now I'm standing on all this poo flinging as I'm reaching for my next thing. And if that's what's coming through me, well, now I'm anticipating there to be poo to be flung. And so then how much longer is it going to be before I fling poo, which then justifies Lucy flinging poo back. And now we're in this really weird. So everybody stop for a second, right? And every now and again, I think we said that jokingly, every now and again, the brain needs washed because the mind is a very powerful, misunderstood, and misprogrammed orientation system that allows us to peek our head into and get a very small amount of space in this reality. And so the cleanse process is meant to start at, it starts at what I call the narrative level. I've been on here several times plugging my book, Turning Within, at the we have constructs of reality that we make. So, everybody in your car, wherever you're at, right now, if you're working out, whatever it is, right now in your mind, just say the word hello. And there they are, and they don't ever shut the heck up.
No.
Now, right? And right now, just everybody, just for a moment, just hold your breath. Now breathe. Breathe. Everybody breathe, right? Notice now you're breathing. As you're breathing, notice now you've just you're now that you're breathing again, your automatic systems have now just taken over, and that breath is just happening. Much like when you said hello back there, you took charge of your mind and you made it flow in a very specific way. But then when you let go, notice now your thoughts are now random again. They're just flowing again, and there's a specific flow. And I do what I'm learning to coin shadow informed depth work, which is really going below the surface of all that. Like, what is all that programming? And you go down in there and you start to get in there, and what you find out is, well, National Science Foundation suggests that 95% of the thoughts that you think day after day, week after week, minute after minute are repetitive. We're thinking the same thing over and over. We were talking earlier about the Kennedy Center and the new origami
Telescope.
yeah that the, they took the new telescopes, new pictures, and how everything is a fractal reflection of everything else. And so here we are in this world that's very negative, very surface oriented, consumer driven, materialistic focused structure of reality that we orient our experience of reality through, and we're programmed to not dive down in there. Now, the mental cleanse process is meant to help us rewrite that. Well, the first week, again, in your mind, you have these language patterns. The first week, all you're doing is just listening to that. And you're attempting, you're just paying particular attention to anything that's negative. And what I mean by that is this is an experiment to see, well, what if you're telling yourself the same stupid story everywhere you go? You just don't know it. And just start to listen. And I don't know, I've taken thousands of people through this process. We've got an app for it now. We've got a weekly integration group. We've got a Facebook group. We've got all these people. We've got cleansers. I've got people that have done this process. Me, myself, I've now done it 20 times because I think I need to go, I go through it at least every quarter. Right now, I'm in week two, and we'll get to that in a minute. But the first week, in your mind, everybody just repeat the words, "Isn't that interesting?" That's it. All you're doing is noticing. It's kind of like an AA. It's taking an inventory. All we're doing is taking inventory. That's it. It's like you got this clipboard that we're trying to create this automation because the mind automates all meaning. Just trying to create this clipboard in your mind that says, "Hang on a minute. What did you just tell you? What did I just say to myself? Isn't that interesting?" And we're allowing ourselves to stay curious about the way that we talk, the purpose, and you'll find that this is it's one of the most difficult things. We talked about mental health and the importance of meditation and the importance of taking time out to pause, separate yourself from your life, and get into that interior landscape. Mental cleanse is an in theater, in boots on the ground while you're in it kind of thing. While you're in the middle of it, notice what you're telling yourself about what's going on. It's what I call a true integration program. It's like, isn't that interesting? There I am telling myself. For me, it's this because I'm a father, seven kids, right? Five left in the home, and I have this concern that I'm not going to be able to provide in the way that a father. And I always have these judgments about how somehow this was because you didn't do what you needed to do back there to be the person that you needed to be. And I think we all have them. It's a collective challenge that can only be addressed personally, intimately. And so the first step is really noticing how that's coming through us. That's the first step. I go all the way down to you're standing on 3.5 billion years of survival-rooted programming, and that programming has to come out. And I believe that there's divine engineering in this, and you're either going to do the work or the work is going to do you. The work is going to get done. And we're just at a time in our life when we can no longer continue to operate by that. I can no longer continue to be so focused on my own reality that I somehow think that me being a bad dad is the reason for my kids being who they are. That's I'm now handing off shadow to them, and I'm handing off constructs of reality that aren't theirs. That's not their responsibility to make me feel like my life has purpose.
Exactly,
Not their job, right? And so it's learning how to peel that off, but the first step is noticing. And you'll find it's difficult because the mind is not programmed to listen to itself think. The mind is not programmed. It's programmed to automate to make meaning and keep moving forward and expand and consume, especially because we're in a consumer-based world. Our mind's been hijacked. Most people don't build the ideal. Most people just manage circumstances. And if you go into the structure of the thought of your mind, in your mind, you'll find that most of the thoughts that you have are just trying to survive this thing called life, but nobody makes it out of here alive. And it's like most people have spent most of their day trying to survive life and they forgot to live it. And that's a switch. But when you make that switch, It's all the difference in the world. And we're doing that at multiple levels. We're doing it always, and then we're doing it always. We're doing it always as in a horizontal plane, but then we're also doing it always as in vertically. Every level of thought we have, some part of us is still tied. And so that part is just, that's just coming out now. And the cleanse is a process to where I can take my mind out, I can wring it out, and I can start fresh and build something new. And week one, first we have to find out what's in there. First we have to gain that insight.
Right.
So it's what it is, really.
Right. So the inventory is just listening and then being aware that, oh my gosh, I'm telling myself this and I'm telling myself this and doing that inventory, that part of the work.
Well, it's kind of like you could you can't you can't get somewhere, you can't get down, you can't shut a light off in the basement
Unless
without
you
going
go
into
down the
the basement.
stairs.
Yeah, but if you if the stairs are too scary for me to go down because I'm going to yell at myself for having that light on, well then I'll never really shut that light off. I've got to give myself permission to hear what I'm really saying so I can see where the light is on, so I can understand that this message isn't coming. Because what I'll do is I'll project that out there, and then I'll project it on my wife. Somehow I'm going to fail her, and then I'll project it here. Somehow it'll go fractally. It changes. Now it's in this conversation with Lucy. I'm not going to communicate this in a way that, and I'm not going to be enough here. And it's not, it's the message that somehow I'm not enough that's the problem. I'm just projecting where that not enough is going to take me under. And that's a narcissistic, it's a very selfish, but unconsciously selfish view of reality that I think we're all suffering from. Paul Levy calls it the Wetiko. It's the mind virus that's just kind of sitting in there. And we got to go in, and every now and again, we just got to go in and give you a computer term. We got to go in and clear out the cookies. You know what I mean? Because otherwise, my mind is going to be spinning out with all these other ads, worried about all this stuff that it's none of that stuff matters. I got to go in every now and again and clean out my cookies just so I can have more resources available to me so I can move through the world more freely.
Well, and I think a lot of people, as a psychotherapist myself, I think a lot of people want to blame, if you will, moms and dads that they had for not being available, for, being an alcoholic or being a workaholic or being a gambler or being an abuser. And so they go, well, that's why I'm the way I am. But in reality, if you don't want to make the change and do the work, all you've done is give yourself an excuse.
Well, yeah. Again, trauma will either grow up or grow down. It'll either hold us down or shoot us forward. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the situation is. You give me five people, you give me a situation, I can give you five people that use that same situation, and it became the soapbox in which they built their rocket ship that allowed them to break free of the gravity of the lie that they were telling themselves. And I could show you five more people that took that same situation and used it to bury themselves. It's the situation. It, but notice the noticing is I, Stephen, this work, depth work is a subjective experience. You can't be like, guys, you can't, I can't tell you what you're thinking. You can't tell me what I'm thinking, although we have the same kind of structure. But the reality of it is that I have to see where in me I am now translating. You talked about the blame. I first off, I think that that's the first problem. You think that somehow there's blame, and somehow there's like they, not you, but they think there's somehow blame or deserve has something to do. That misconception causes the mind. I call that coming from without. So this victim mentality, because it's call it an archetype. There's an archetype that's predicated in a consumer-based. Oh, I'm using some really big words that make me sound like I'm big brother hunting, and I'm not, right? But in the structure of reality, we just live in a reality where if I allow myself to just survive, I'm going to feel like a victim because I'm trying to survive. And if I'm so identified from the victim archetype that I will find the mind seeing is a believing, believing is seeing. I will find a reason to be a victim, even in I love you. I will find a reason to be a victim because I can, because the mind is just that brilliant. So the question becomes, as I'm doing this work with people, again, what is this, 25 years? 25 years now I've been doing this work. And what I've noticed is the mind is it's always in this what I call elegantly evolving. And elegance is just efficiency. There's always this elegant efficiency that to the mind, the way it works. And so the mind craves patterns. Story is a pattern. We can only take in one, two, three, too many. So the mind thinks in patterns and metaphors and structures of symbols. Well, these patterns, I thought, well, what if suffering was the same? And in the mental cleanse, that was probably about 4, 5, 6 years ago, I noticed there's this certain pattern that seems to be showing up as I'm just trying not to be negative, because it started out, just try not to be negative. Just try not to be negative. I was like, this is a lot harder than I thought it was. I'm sitting over here. I can't not complain. Oh, now I'm complaining about complaining. And now I'm complaining. And I call it a shame spiral. Get caught in the shame spiral and stop moving. And what is that doing? And I started to notice that right underneath that was a pattern. There's this pattern that's coming from within me that I'm assuming that this is the world, the way the world is, and then the world is somehow lining up in my favor. And I'm like, this is interesting. And so it's like noticing there's this pattern. And again, the mind craves that efficiency. And I thought, well, what if the suffering was the same way? And sure enough, we do this thing called now you can actually have us do a core shadow. What is your core shadow? Because you'll find that for me, I've got 4 or 5 of them that I tend to. One of them is you're not enough. One of them is I'm going to be trapped in a basement. One of them I call you're a bum. One of them you're a reject. And when these come online, they have very specific flavors inside of me. There's this pattern that when they show up, and I know now that anytime I'm coming from that storyline, that's got to be a lie. Why? Because I tell myself that same lie all the time. I've been telling myself that same lie for 55 years, and it's never happened. Like, you know what I mean? It will happen one day. It's like, Lucy, I don't know if you're like me, but I am the person that will go, I'm going to die here. 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 And then whatever failure I thought was being translated as death in these relationships, as soon as it happens, I go, I knew it. I could go through 20 years of it never happening and me waiting for something bad to happen. But the one time it happens, it validates that entire 20 years of waiting for it to happen.
Exactly.
I don't understand that. So it's like, I didn't understand. So then it was like, okay, just notice it. Once we see the pattern, once we've got the unique pattern, so week one could be there's like, I spent this time here, I spent 3 weeks in week one, just noticing, just noticing. Just noticing, because I want to get underneath it. I want to get as my hand in my mind. I want to get it as far down into the root of whatever I'm gnawing on as possible, so that when we move into week two, so week one's mantras, isn't that interesting? You guys don't need the app for this. You don't need to pay anybody for this. You don't need to show up. Like at the end of the day, this is the jewels right here. First question is, isn't that interesting? It's the first prompt. You're going to do that all week long, and you're going to hear in my head, you'll hear my voice going, isn't that interesting? Because you'll start to see loops, and you'll start to see, well, there's no way I could have ended up over there stuck at the stoplight telling myself I'm going to be late again, and I hit all these stoplights. Well, what would that mean? That would mean that somehow you've aligned yourself so that you can land at all these stoplights just so that you can feel like you're going to be late. Isn't that interesting, right? We go to the second mantra is, what else could this mean? And the reason we're doing it that order is because first I got to hear it. And I can only hear what I can hear. The mind will only give me as much as I can handle. And I can only hear you at my level of consciousness. And so I'm trying to stretch that part in week one. And once I've stretched into it, then week two is, okay, now can you pivot? And if we had video, they'd be able to see it. But if you've got, imagine you're in a chair and it kind of rotates back and forth. You want to find where the rotation is. And what you'll do is you'll be driving down the road, and week one, let's do week one. Week one, you're driving down the road and you stop at a stoplight, and the light changes green, and the guy in front of you doesn't go. Ah, now you're screaming at the windshield. Why? Why are you screaming? That doesn't do anything for anybody at the end of the day. And here, then go, isn't that interesting? You start to notice, there I am in that condensing feeling. Here I am feeling as though I'm, and what am I feeling? Oh, is it that I feel like I'm being held up? Does it feel like I'm being set up? Does it feel like this guy's got it out to get me? Because all three of those are different flavors. They're all shit sandwiches, excuse my language, right? But some's got nuts, and some's a little runnier than others, and they all have their own flavor. But they're all, it's like what we do is we stop at the shit sandwich, and we don't stop and investigate it. Stop for a moment and see that you're creating the same. Can you see it? And then I see it. Once I see it, I go, oh, okay. Now that I know it, I can look over at other areas of my life and I can see where Oh, I'm thinking that my family or my health or my wealth or my this or my that, I can start to see where that imprint of suffering is being projected out of me in all of my relationship, the survival rooted, this is how I'm going to get taken out. And everybody has their own particular flavors that they're operating on. We need to know how. I need to know how I'm doing it, specifically how. Not, do you know how you're doing it? No, that's not what I mean. Specifically how. Oh, I do it like this, and I put my hand around in a left circle, and I do it like this, and put my hand in a left circle. Everybody's doing it. They're just doing it in a very unique way. Now that I know that, I can go, okay, well, what else could this mean? And you ask the prompt, and what you're looking for is the mind. Like right now, everybody listening, try not to answer this question in your mind. What's 2 + 2? What color is the sky? What's the opposite of up? And notice that the mind just answers those questions. It can't not answer a question. It sings songs, plays games, answers questions, and tells stories all day long. And so, what we're doing here is we get down into the meaning on week one. It's like, this is the meaning I'm holding on to. And you ask the mind the question, okay, what else you got? And the mind, it does this interesting thing where it starts to answer the question and then realizes it doesn't want to tell you that answer. It wants to stay stuck at where it is. And now you've know, now you know where you're caught. Now you can see where the lie, where you're stuck in a reality that you're causing. You can see the imprint. And it's this weird psychedelic experience because now it's like, oh man, I've been holding on to that since, and it'll take you all the way back and it'll shoot you forward. And your mind starts to, all of a sudden, you start to see how the mind, how powerful the mind actually is. And then, of course, then we want to go into a shame. Oh, I'm terrible. No, stop. And it'll be the same terrible that you were holding on to begin with. And that'll teach you something. And the mind is just learning through this process. And so then
Right.
you go, and so, and once you see where the mind pivots, now you're in what we call week two is entertaining control. So I go from being this negative Nelly to, oh, I catch the negativity and I go, what else could it mean? And the mind will go, well, you could just accept it. This guy in front of you, like, what else could this mean? Well, the guy in front of me may have just taken a call that his wife's in a hospital or his cat just died. Heaven forbid, nobody, like, heaven forbid if anybody's had that happen. You know what I mean? But the guy in front of you may have had some massive trauma or tragedy just happen. He may have just had a heart attack, might need your help.
Exactly.
Or there may be some kind of a structure of reality that you needed to be held back 5 seconds to keep you from being hit from a car that's going to run through the road up ahead, and you needed to be 5 seconds late. And notice how your mind has more faith in this guy's got it out for me than it does in this guy is helping you be right where you need to be. Like, kind of notice again how that is in the subjective experience of the story called you. You notice how that happens. Like, oh, this could be a billion different reasons. Man, I'm really stuck on that lie. And once again, you start to see as your mind, and what we're doing is decalcifying all of that, what we call the plot of the narrative, all those words that you're stuck in, you're trapped in, all of a sudden you start to see that you've been telling yourself a story and you're caught in that story. And we're all telling ourselves stories that we're caught in. It's happening at every level and at every level. You know what I mean? Always and always. So now I see that, and now I can start to entertain. I can start to shift up, and it's kind of like we find ourselves at a lower identity, and we spend most of our time in a lower identity. In week one, it's just noticing how crappy you think life is, right? It's like you're not living in the 1800s. You're not dipping to the dark ages. You're not, you know, it, Viktor Frankl. I'm rereading the Will to Meaning. You're not sitting in World War II Nazi Germany. Like, none of that stuff is happening. And you're inside your nice warm shower, taking a shower with soap, and the water shuts off, and you turn into some, ah, this is terrible. The world's ending. No, it's not. No, it's not. Something that you were given to you as a gift, a blessing, has a little bit of a challenge, and you think the world's ending. Stop moving and notice that. Notice it. Isn't that interesting? What else could this mean? It could be any number of things. And now we're in the subjective experience of the story called your life, and it starts to take on. Again, in theater, it's an in theater long form depth work process that's meant to wake us up to the structure of what's really going on and bring the genius through us. And so then you jump up. That's week two, right? It's just entertaining. You think you know where you're going and you don't.
So what we're going to do, because our show for today is over, but we're going to end with week two and then take them through week three and four in February.
Perfect. Week three is beautiful state, and week four is purging and cultivating. So these first 2 weeks are a completely different structure. Here's how to look at
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. I know one of the things that I wrote a book a number of years ago called The Adventures of Miss Twiggs and Company. And three mice that represent love, truth, and wisdom,
it.
they actually teach adults as well as children that we create our world with our thoughts. And so, in other words, be careful what you think because you're in the process then of creating reality. And I think that's part of what this show is all about, is to live your best life. You need to be aware of how am I doing physically? How am I doing emotionally? What do I need to do to maybe tweak things so I can truly live the life I want to live? And I think this fits very well with that, just being aware of what we tell ourselves and what other options might there be.
Outstanding. Well, that's exactly right. Those are three smart mice, like three blind mice, and they can see farther down the road than we can. Like three
Yes.
mice holding on to the elephant, they got a pretty good view of the elephant.
Right. Right. Thank you so much for being my guest again. As I said, we'll see you back here in February. I hope you have a beautiful Thanksgiving and a wonderful Christmas with your family. I think having seven children, seven is my lucky number, and I think having seven kids must be your lucky number as well.
Must be.
Must be. All right, everybody, please go out there and make this your best life. And real quickly, Stephen, do you want to tell them how to reach you, how to reach out to you?
Yep, you can reach me you can reach me if you want to set up some time to speak to me one-on-one. Just go to shadow.coach, www.shadow.coach. That'll take you right to a onboarding. Typically, I make you jump through a bunch of hoops, but we won't play that game with your people. And then the second way is if you go to masteringchange.com, it'll take you to a website where you can, there's an app for this process. There's a weekly integration groups that meet to support this process. There's a community of people that are cleansing on a regular basis. The insights gleaned from it are amazing. So again, masteringchange.com to find all that.
All right. Thank you again so very much and have a beautiful afternoon.
You as well.
All right. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. And again, go out there and make this your very best life.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.